took a bartending class one time as a life list item, and the bartender, the instructor, said that everything that is important about you is revealed by how you play.
G'day gang, welcome to the Hidden Wire podcast, episode 404, my interview with Denny Dover. My name is Lee Manuzzi, the host of the show, The Hidden Wire Guy, here to inspire you to live your life with greater passion and purpose. And to do that, I really believe we need to connect within, we need to discover our why, and use that to navigate our life with greater purpose towards more freedom, fulfillment, and happiness. Every week, guys, I get to interview great people, and this interview is a cracker of an interview with Denny Dover. I think you'll really enjoy it. So Denny Dover assigned a deadline to his life of May 25th, 2017. And that deadline was to complete his life list. He was tired of hearing about other people's exciting lives and decided to jumpstart his own by taking steps to actually live as if the end was in sight. He tattooed this deadline on his butt, and that became the sole purpose of his life. It became his why, his life list, as he calls it. And that was a list of more than 150 life goals, which he mentions a few of them in this episode. Some very small and sort of interesting, and some more, you know, important and major. So it's really an interesting journey. And what I like about it, it gave him meaning. It gave him his life meaning. And as he states in this episode, at the start, he was sort of faced with this depression and on a downward spiral in stagnation. And so to get out of that, he just had to find something to give him focus on and something to give him meaning. And so that's the life list. That's what he created. I call it the why. He, you know, calls it the life list. But really what's important is about finding something that's giving you meaning, something that has purpose to you, and then just committing to it and going after it and seeing what comes. That really is the key to finding purpose. And Denny really makes that message quite clear in this episode. He's got a great book out now. He's got a couple of books out, actually, but he's got a new one that's just been published called The Minimalist Mindset. There's a lot of talk about this minimalist lifestyle, and certainly it's a lifestyle that I've created, not out of purpose, I guess. It just sort of came about by following my purpose, by following my why, what was important to me. And that just becomes about removing what is unnecessary and just focusing on what's truly necessary to allow us to live the life that we desire. This is a very inspiring interview, guys. I think you'll get a lot of value out of it. It goes for about an hour, so you'll enjoy it. If you like it, please share it with your family, share it on your network, social media, Twitter, whatever your poison might be. As far as social media is concerned, share it out there for me. That helps spread the message, get into more hands, and really help other people live greater lives. Also, check out Denny. He's got an amazing TED Talk, which I really think 6 minutes. It really encapsulates his message. So I'll stick that in the show notes too at thehiddenwhy.com, episode 404. There's all the other links to Denny as well, including his website. So you can reach out to him and thank him for coming on the show as well. Other than that, guys, that's it. You really enjoy this show. Hope you're inspired. Let me know if I can help with anything. Reach out anytime. You can connect with me on Facebook, on Twitter, and also at thehiddenwhy.com using my email address as well, thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. Love to hear from you guys, and thank you. Enjoy your day. Enjoy this episode. We'll talk at the other end. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hidden Wire podcast. My name's Lee Martinuzzi. Pumped and excited to have Denny Dover with me here today. Denny, how are you going?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm excited to chat today.
It's a pleasure and looking forward to it, mate. I love your story. I love your message. I think it's a beautiful one and certainly needs to be shared or deserves to be shared as well. So let's start with that. Let's start with your journey and where it all started, which I, from what I've read, is it started back in 2010. Can you fill us a little bit in from why that started, your journey to start your life list?
Sure. So the journey, as you mentioned, started around 2010. So roughly 10 years ago, give or take. Because there wasn't an official start date. If we rewind back to that point in my life, I was going through a really rough part. I was dealing with depression. I had a whole lots of personal issues that I was working on, or in fact not working on, just kind of settling and being stagnant. And I was looking for some positive way to move me forward. So I started asking the people who were actually coming to me to help, because I was in such a serious need of help that I wasn't able to get people to come help me. I wasn't able to reach out to people. People had to come to me.
Okay.
And I started asking people first I started asking people actually, what makes you happy in your life? And that turns out to be a really silly question. But what I was trying to do is just try to find an area where I could, something I could grab onto, something I could, that I could make myself more happy. And okay. that turned out to be entirely the wrong way to go.
That's interesting. What sort of, can I just delve into that?
Sure, yeah.
What sort of responses did you get, and why are you feeling that that's a silly question to ask? Because a lot of people would probably say that, you know, why aren't I happy? Why are you happy?
Exactly right. And this was a question I asked for a long time. So the problem with the question of why are you happy is that it is too broad and generic. And so the answers you get, one, it's just a very intimidating question because it's like a request for sage advice. Can you help me? Can you fix all my problems? Which is very intimidating for anyone to be asked. And secondly, happiness, and we'll talk a little bit about this going forward, but happiness is a very personal and a very contextual state of being. And I think that trying to prescribe that to anyone just frankly doesn't work. And so when you ask a question as broad as what makes you happy, it comes from the wrong place, and you tend to get very generic answers or unactionable answers. So while the heart of the question might be the right thing, the actual verbiage and the semantics of it, I found to be completely wrong.
Right. Okay. Yep.
By pure happenstance, I ended up changing the question, not by any brilliance of my own, but just because I asked the question so much and I wasn't finding the answers I was looking for. I started asking people what were some of the favorite stories from their life. And this little twist on the same thing made a huge difference for me. Asking people to tell me some of their favorite stories from their life or some of the moments they're most proud of, that made a significant difference. So people would beam, their eyes would light up when they'd start answering this question.
Yeah, I like it.
So from that, I got a whole bunch of stories from the people who were coming to me of things that they were proud of, favorite stories from their life. And I started creating not exactly a bucket list. I find bucket lists to be a little morbid. There's a bit of an emphasis on death. Complete this before you die. Instead, I created what I call a life list, which is a list of things to do while you're still living. I think the emphasis is more on life.
Yeah.
So I gave myself a deadline for that. And to be totally fair and transparent with everybody, I'm kind of taking a story that happened over the course of about 2 years, and I'm telling it all in about 45 seconds here. So I want to be realistic with folks. But I ended up giving myself a deadline. It was May 25th, 2017. I ended up getting that tattooed on me, and then I made that the purpose of my life. I made that my why. My hidden why was very much to complete this life list before that deadline, which is motivation. Yeah, it was a very strange thing to do. I openly admit that. But it is the ladder I needed to get myself out of depression. And it was a heck of a journey. It took me all over the place. So the list itself had 150 items. Mm-hmm. As of May 25th of this year, I finished all 150. These were as simple as getting a straight razor shave, which is, you know, just how people used to do it, to as complicated as visiting all seven continents, publishing books, getting patents, doing astronaut training, going to about 100 different countries, so on and so forth. There was things that were mental, there were things that required money, there were things that required just persistence. There were things all over the board. And so I had to figure out ways of getting all these resources, which we can dive deeper into in this interview. But
absolutely. Yeah.
Quite the journey. We're talking now about a little less than a month since I finished this. So I'm still very much in a transitional phase. I think this interview will be quite interesting because I'm still processing this long journey that took close to 10 years to complete.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. What an amazing feat.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm that as well. But more amazing is, you know, your courage to get yourself out of that depressive state, I guess, or stagnation. And I want to sort of start there and perhaps just ask some questions around that. Was there anything in particular that sort of led you to that position? Not everyone starts there. Some people have sort of depression throughout their life, but other people, it comes into their lives. I think a lot of people suffer depression. I don't know the stats off the top of my head. I think it's 1 in 8 people suffer depression in the world. And it's quite major. And certainly for myself, I've found just by connecting with really my why or what's important to me and my values and sort of aligning my life with that, has really helped me on that track of improvement, and that's really been a personal transformation and a sort of release from internal conformity, I guess, to allow me to really live life, and in that I've found greater happiness. But talk to us about that, the state of depression and how that came about and what you know there.
Yeah, so I want to make it very clear that depression is a very serious ailment. I think that, as you mentioned, far too many people deal with it. And unfortunately, many, many times it ends in death. It is a very serious thing. And it manifests itself in several ways, but many of them are chemical imbalances in the brain. So this is something that should be treated by a professional, and something that should be taken very seriously, just like any other medical ailment. So I want to make that very clear.
Yeah.
This isn't depression in the clinical sense. It's not just having a bad day. It's closer to having a bad life. It's something that lasts for years, and is a slow leak of motivation. So if you or any of the listeners are dealing with depression or know someone is, please seek medical professional help to deal with it. I delayed on that too long. I thought that I could handle it all by myself. I certainly didn't want to take pills. That's not really my lifestyle when I started. But I quickly found that I needed to find a purpose, a why, which is what this whole show is about, which was for me my life list. And then I also needed professional help on top of that. I needed the therapy. So if you are dealing with that, or your listeners, when I say you, please get professional help. I waited too long, and it could have ended much worse.
I mean, you said you sort of were reluctant to get help and tried to do it all on your own, and I think that's what a lot of us do in life, whether it's depression or other aspects that we're struggling with. We sort of fear or want to hold our pride and avoid reaching out and asking for help. What is there any other insights you can give us there as to far as why you sort of avoided asking?
Sure. So I was big-headed. I thought that I could conquer this all by myself. Earlier on in my life, I had conquered some problems all by myself, but they were much smaller, and I wasn't giving depression the credit that it deserved as far as how holistic and how detrimental it can be.
Okay.
So at that point, sorry, say that one more time, please.
What led you there?
Well, I don't know. I think much like getting any other kind of disease, it's very hard to pinpoint exactly what it was. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that question. I think very slowly over the course of several years, I just started to lose motivation day by day. And it slowly set into a point where I eventually just couldn't get out of bed anymore. And I got very close to failing out of high school. I eventually dropped out of college as a result of this. And I knew what I was supposed to be doing intellectually. I knew that I needed to be moving forward in my life and climbing up this ladder. But I couldn't motivate myself to do it.
Okay, so it was around the college years that you really felt it?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so you created – it's really just the courage for you to – from that position. Did that come before – did the life list come before you sort of searched for help with your depression, or did that come as a consequence of asking for help?
So the life list came as a consequence. So as I mentioned, I was asking people where they were getting their happiness from, and it came as a result of that. But I think that there is something tied in, and this is part of the reason I'm so excited to do this show, is that I think there is something about identifying your own personal why that really can help reinvigorate you. I think that you need other things on top of it to cure a mental illness, but I think that this core essence of understanding your why can help in many, many areas.
Okay. Well, let's go there. What does that mean to you? Like, what is this core why?
So for me, I made it the purpose of my life. The reason I woke up every single day was to complete my life list before the deadline that I'd given myself.
Yeah.
And very blatantly and very just transparently, the real reason behind that had very little to do with actually checking anything off the list. It was more to create a lifestyle that I could be proud of. It was more to put me in situations I never otherwise would be in. So the items themselves, while interesting and some of them quite fun, they were really just, they were really just a tool to get me somewhere else in my life, to put me in an unconventional lifestyle.
Which, any tool that allows us to do that, to connect us with that sort of inner purpose, that the motivation that drives us out of bed with, excitement for what the opportunity of the day brings, I think is a great tool. And it doesn't matter what the tool is. It's just about that motivation, that drive. And then what comes from there is probably the amazing part of the process. With the why, you came up with the idea of a life list. How did that idea get into your head? Why was the life list sort of the thing? I just want to sort of delve into perhaps inspiration of what other people could do to sort of seek out their why, other than writing a list of 150 things to do in life.
Well, I like life lists for many reasons. First of all, the emphasis is on life. So it's a deadline that you set for yourself, which is something you have some control over, as opposed to a bucket list, which you don't have control over the end date. I like that it involves other people. So again, you can ask other people, what are some of the favorite moments from their life? And even if you don't take their answer as a life list item for yourself, just having those conversations I find to be very, very interesting. So I had these first with some of my close family members, and I learned a lot about them, things that they'd never told me about, life stories that they had had about their childhood stuff, some of the crazy things they did, traveling and going to crazy concerts and whatnot. So just the conversation itself around these questions I think is valuable. I think the life list comes secondary, and obviously I'm a big fan of it. Yeah. But I think it's a useful exercise to go through for anyone just to ask more interesting questions and to push yourself to do more interesting experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And what experiences that resonate with you? I mean, how did you come up with that list? Was it just inspired by things that you think you'd enjoy, or was it inspired by just what the information you got from other people and their stories?
So the whole list was inspired by asking that same question to people. So each of the 150 or so items on the list came as a result of asking that question to somebody in my life.
Okay, I like it. So if anyone else is listening out there and they're sort of going, well, I don't really have a purpose, I don't know what my why is, and there's a lot of these people, I believe, that are out there listening, what advice would you give them to encourage them to connect with that deeper why, that deeper purpose?
Well, it's a very personal journey for every individual to try to find their why. Hmm. What I eventually found was that when I was asking myself this why question, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself to get the right answer, however I wanted to find that in the moment. And what I eventually realized is that the answer itself of your why doesn't matter. What I found is the part that really makes a difference in your life is just committing yourself to something. Even if it has some arbitrary nature, what I found is that just being like having some central focus in your life, that helps answer the why. It's a roundabout way of getting there, but I found it to be, first of all, take a lot less pressure because you don't have to worry so much about getting the right answer. And second, it gives you something to work on. It gives you something, a reason to wake up every single day.
Okay. So finding just a central focus, something that you can start with to focus on, something to give you a bit of motivation to get you out of bed. Does it have to be something that you enjoy doing necessarily?
Well, yes and no. So I think that the beauty of a life list is that it gives you a lot of diversity of activities and experiences. And so there were certainly some items on the list that I did not like. So I wanted to get 1550 on the Gluclo 2 on a chess. But I wanted to get quite good at chess. So I spent months working on that, and I didn't particularly like it. But I learned a lot about the game of chess. I learned a lot about logic. I learned a lot about competitiveness. And memory. So I didn't particularly like that event, but I learned or activity, but I learned a lot from it. And then there were other ones which I had almost no knowledge in at all. They just seemed kind of random when they were put on the list originally. So one of them was live alone in the wilderness for a month. Yes, and as you can imagine, as you can imagine, there's a lot that goes into that one. And so that one I spent months and months and months training for and prepping for, and then a month out in the wilderness, just me. And that one ended up being one of my favorites. Yeah, well, one of the ones that I had the least information for when I started.
That'd be a cool experience. Okay. So what I'm wondering is that there must be some roadblocks for a lot of people to, perhaps even get started with such a list to give them some sort of central focus. But then there's also the roadblocks of, well, which item do I start with first? There's going to be some items that you could probably do, like, getting a shave with a straight razor. Might be easier to get started than going on a journey or a month journey into the wilderness.
Absolutely.
And that would, I would love to go out into the wilderness and do that, but there'd be a lot of things that I'd use as an excuse or a reason why I can't do that. And perhaps that would prevent, the real success of this life list altogether.
Yeah, well, let's get right into the heart of this. One of the two biggest limitations that I think most people encounter is time and money. Yeah. There's this question that looms in this whole conversation. It was like, well, how the heck do you pay for all this? And then there's this other question that's, I think, actually rarely asked, which is like, well, how do you fit this into your lifestyle? What about all your other responsibilities? So let's start with the money part of it. What I found is that increasing the amount of money you have coming in is generally very hard to do because you're relying on someone else. It's either your boss or it's clients or however you have your own income structured. What I found is much easier is to start eliminating some of the expenses that you have. You have a lot more control over that.
Yeah.
By making small strides in that, over time, you can make big differences. But really, I think that it becomes much more of a game of minimizing things, of subtracting things from your life so that you can free up room and resources, time and money to add other things to your life, to add the things that you care about, these activities around your why.
Okay, and you've just written and published a book called The Minimalist Mindset, which I assume gives us a lot of tips and techniques on all that.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So the question of like, well, how did I do this life list? The specifics of like, well, here's the specific gear to get if you're going to go to the wilderness. That stuff's pretty easy to answer, but I don't think it's particularly beneficial because it's so specific to a particular item. The minimalist mindset is different in that it asks these questions of why, and it goes through an entire series of steps that you can go through to start to ask these questions and to start to find the answers for yourself. It's all very customized and very personal because, again, these are very contextual and very personal questions.
Yeah.
And so by asking those questions first and setting the foundation, then you can start to make real progress on, well, how am I going to structure this as far as time? How am I going to structure my finances? And it goes very detailed into how I structure my finances and how I make money and how I spend money. And how anyone else can do similar things, so they can start getting to this point where they can have the luxury of asking these logistical questions, which is like, what shoes do I have to get to do run a marathon or those kind of things. First, you got to answer these much bigger, harder questions.
Okay, so you're talking about the questions of, you know, creating your life list, putting those down on paper, but then asking, you know, questions around each of those items as to how you could go about achieving it?
Not exactly. So I'm asking more questions about the foundation, which is, why do you want to wake up every day? How am I going to pay for the things that are important to me? And how am I going to structure my time so that I can be with the people I care about in a way that makes sense to me? Because a lot of us don't, it doesn't appear that we have choices in those, because you have to go to work and you have to spend time with colleagues, even if you don't like them. You may have the other people in your life who you don't like that you're forced to be around.
Yeah.
And so starting to ask questions about that, like, is this the only way? Is there ways in the real world where I can start to eliminate or at least minimize some of these things? And for many people, there are ways that you can better balance your life in those ways. It's certainly in the middle of the mindset. It's not going to answer every question for every person, but it gets you on the right path to start asking the right questions so that you can do.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's exactly right.
So I can still see like a lot of the mindset is the block, isn't it? It's really the roadblock to getting started on such a list. And I could just see, people writing this list down and then going, yeah, but you know, how am I ever going to get to do that? You know, they'll have all that self-doubt and fear come in and say, you know, I have to work this job, you know, it's what pays the rent here. And, this job I don't really like anyway. All these reasons that would come in and restrict them from really committing to such a life list. And I think that would be hard to overcome. What was some of the key element or the key learnings that you had to help you overcome that? Because I assume, you know, in that sort of mind state that you're originally in, there would have been a lot of that.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. So the mindset is just the first step, but it is not the steps that are required for the journey. Those come from persistence and just the passage of time. So big transitions like this, I think more often than not, are very, very slow. So again, mine took close to a decade to complete. And I think it's similar for most people. You don't get that in the Hollywood version of like the Steve Jobs example. These things take a very, very long time. And most of the skill sets that I see people using really boils down to just persistence. It's somebody who just keeps going when things get hard, and they keep going.
That determination and persistence. And certainly it's, you know, from all the people I've interviewed, and I've interviewed over 100 people on this podcast, I mean, their journey to where they are today seems to be about that range, 10 years, you know, it's nothing overnight. And I think a lot of people forget that, you know, especially if you're writing a list, you'll be looking at that list and going, yeah, well, that's never going to happen, you know. How am I ever going to, I don't know, do an astronaut course, whatever you're doing there, and get that complete, I guess, would be the questions of doubt. And that's a really good point, you know. The journey is not a rapid one. It's a slow progress. It's step by step. And same with the journey for all those people that we look up to, the mentors in the world that we look out to. You know, their journey has been that as well. So, you raise a very valid point about that.
Yeah, these things take time and they take a lot of persistence.
Mm.
I think that even, you know, there's no book that you can read and there's no podcast episode that is going to answer it entirely for you. But I think that there are resources out there and there are people out there that can help you get on the right path. But then it's ultimately up to you to continue on that path. And frankly, that's where things get quite hard.
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, again, that's what I hope to do, is help people connect with their why and give them some inspiration and some passion in their life. I think that really creates some more meaning and some greater happiness. And certainly from my experience, it's been a slow process. But looking back over the last, just my personal journey, over the last 5 years, it's just amazing how far my life has come and how it's changed. And I feel so great and grateful for that change. But, you know, looking back then when I started, man, it wasn't that easy. But how did you find, and again, everyone's different in this respect, but I think it's the real thing that people have to get the skill for, is that ability to really commit to something and then find that determination so you can persist no matter what, you know, when things are mundane, when things are going really slow, that you can just, you know, have that grit of you, if you will, to push through. How did you find that?
Well, two things. I want to back up on something you actually said on an interview that you did with somebody else. I did a little bit of stalking of you before I got on this call.
Good man.
one of the things that you said that resonated with me is that even though you have this show called The Hidden Why, you're still asking that why question for you. It's still something that is, it's a process. You don't get a black and white answer to it. It's not like school. We're talking about life here. And so that these things are ever evolving. And I think that's absolutely true. And I think that's a message that is not said enough, that even an expert like you who focuses and studies on this question of why, you're still working on answering it in a meaningful way. And I think that is very true. And I'm happy that you expressed that message. So thank you for that.
So keep asking the questions.
Yeah, life changes. And so your why is going to change as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the second part of this, what was the, you're going to have to forgive me. I got distracted because you had inspired me there. What was the most recent question you asked me?
I get distracted as well. how do we find determination and determination to persevere and persist? And that is, you know, it is a real, real winner. I think, you know, it's just to put your butt in the chair. For me, I'm writing right now and it's been 6 months writing this book, over 6 months, it's probably a year. I'm just coming to the end of editing myself before I go to the next steps. And you know, it's been hard. Like, you sit down, like every day this week, it's been just, that's what I've been doing, is just editing. But how do you find the persistence?
Well, I feel your pain with the writing. Writing is a beautiful process, but it's also incredibly hard. And it is just gut-wrenchingly slow. It just takes so long.
And for an impatient guy, it's
Well, let me know if I can help support you with that book somehow. I certainly respect authors. I know that's it's a very, very difficult skill and a very difficult accomplishment to create, to have done, is to write a book. But how do I tackle persistence? How do I tackle determination? Well, it really boils down to something that's rather simple, is that I just break things into very, very, very small chunks. So let's use your writing example. Instead of focusing on writing an entire book, I certainly never look at it that way. I'll first do a detailed outline, I'll just do an outline, and then I'll do a little bit of detailed outline, which is roughly what the big ideas of each chapter are going to be. And then I just sit down day after day, and I try to get some words down. And some days that's just one or two words or maybe a sentence. And some days it can be a whole chapter, or sometimes even more. But the way that I do it for every project that I do is just little tiny steps. Every single day I make just a little bit of progress. And that's all I can ask for. And that's all, like, some days I do better than others. But overall and over time, that's how I do these bigger accomplishments.
Yeah, and it's such great advice for tackling life, really, isn't it? I mean, I remember when I started in personal development, one of the first things someone said to me was just, find a way to improve yourself 1% every day. And that might be, you know, by getting up and doing 5 push-ups and then the next day doing 6. Just, you know, simple, small shifts that can make big changes. So it's all those little steps. Really good point.
Yeah, those are not particularly sexy advice, but I think that that's just the truth of it, is that you need to have those little improvements every single day, or just make steady progress. That doesn't even mean you go from 5 push-ups to 6 push-ups the next day. It could just be doing 5 push-ups 5 days in a row. That's a bit of accomplishment right there. And those things, that's how I think you make real big changes in your life, is those little steps.
I like that. It's not really that sexy. What do you think about society? I mean, not me, myself included, we seem to be wanting all this sexy advice and this sexy ways of going about creating this great success, and we all want to become celebrities, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, when it boils down to it, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here and a lot of the stuff in personal development and living a good life is not new. You know, it's been talked about for thousands of years. What is it about the modern society? We all want this sexy, quick fix. Do you see that out there? And what is your opinion on that?
Well, I think it's that largely a result of technology. So technology enables us to have quick fixes in many areas of our life. So we're able to have this instant gratification, this instant feedback on many things.
Yeah.
So if I want to laugh, for example, I can go on YouTube and I can find millions of videos that are probably going to make me laugh in the first 30 seconds. Or if I want to be inspired, I can go find the new documentary that came out on, say, Netflix or whatever service. So I have these things that if I want to feel a certain way, technology enables me to do that very, very quickly. Unfortunately, that only goes so far, even as expansive as technology is and the influence of it, for these core questions, for these foundational things, those are not fast. And there is no way to get to those quickly. But I think that because we're able to taste it with other aspects of our life, I think it's quite natural to want to bring that to these harder questions and to these harder foundational elements.
Okay. So going back to you know, finding persistence, so small chunks is certainly, you know, a great bit of advice. What other techniques do you use?
Well, the core of it is just breaking everything into small chunks. But yeah, the way I generally structure that is through SMART goals. This is not an original idea to me. This came from somebody else. Yeah. But the idea is that each goal I do is very specific, it's measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And I actually think the most important of those is time-bound. I give myself a deadline for all the big or medium-sized projects that I'm working on. And then I take that a step further, and I try to use positive peer pressure as much as possible. So for me, that means writing about the projects that I'm working on. Yep. So that once it's out in the public and my friends who are going to give me crap about this stuff in a very positive, loving way, well, mostly positive, loving way. Once it's out there, I feel a lot of pressure to get these things done. That's exactly right. Accountability. And I find those two methods, SMART goals and positive peer pressure, to really push me. and it's quite effective, although very uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah, I like the positive peer pressure, and that certainly helped with me. When I started this podcast, I wasn't really a huge reader, and I never was a reader. I started reading books just to learn more about how to improve my life. And to really make me read more books, I set a goal of doing a book review once a week. And that sort of really held me accountable to doing that. And now it's become a habit that I don't have to think about, which is really good. And that really came from that sort of, you know, holding myself accountable by publicly announcing what I want to do.
Yeah, it's a neat little trick that it provides a lot of leverage. It's amazing how much drive, just not wanting to be shamed by your peers, can push you to do. It's a powerful tool.
Yeah, I like it. And usually, you know, your good mates will provide that that pressure in a good way, which is great. I mean, some of my mates that have helped me a lot in this journey are my best mates, you know, I'm forever grateful for what they've done in that sense. So talk to us about, you know, when you're going out there and, you know, facing this list, okay, you're working through it. I mean, you said you had some things there that you didn't really like. And even if you've, you know, you've put it out there, you've announced it, that this is what you're working on, what you want to do, a lot of people would still give up if they don't find satisfaction in the process. And I think that's where a lot of the motivation comes from to do things is the intangible joy of the process. What have you done when you've sort of gone along the journey and said, hey, well, this isn't really giving me anything to write home about. I don't really enjoy it. It's not bringing me any value. You know, why wouldn't you just scrap some of those things and move on to the next?
Well, I have actually a very clear answer to that question. Mm. So the items themselves, even if there were some like chess that were not interesting, it was the things that happened as a result of me putting myself in that space that was interesting. Yeah. So for example, when I first started, it was to work on, I think it was to either work on Spanish or to work on more running to get myself more physically fit. And so in order to do that, I moved to a country where the cost of living was much lower because money was a major issue in my life, or the lack thereof. And so I moved to Argentina, which where the cost of living was much lower. So it would free up some of my resources so that I could work on some of these goals. I was subtracting so that I could add other things to my life. And while those activities, say running, let's just use that as an example, was mildly interesting. You give yourself a lot of time to think and you get to see a lot of cities that way by running around them.
Yeah.
What really made a difference was the people I met through those activities. And those are still people that I talk to today, and those are still people who inspire me. So the goal, like the SMART goal, was around running, but the real benefit from it was from the people that I met through those running clubs.
Right.
And I saw the same pattern happen with every single item on my list. So let's say it was the I had an experience where I was flying jets in Los Angeles. And that itself was like a very sexy, very cool, very Hollywood situation. But what was more interesting about it was like the effect that that had on my body, pulling those and really starting to come to terms with like some of the limitations of my body, as great as I like to push myself and as far as I like to push myself, coming to the fact that, hey, there are limits. That was actually more like the more useful and beneficial takeaway of that experience.
Mm.
So it was these unexpected things that came as a result of putting myself in these strange situations that really made a deep impact on me.
Okay, and I think that that comes with that mindset, you know, that positive outlook for all aspects of life. I always say that, you know, even if you don't like your job, we show up, we look for evidence of why we don't like the job rather than looking for what are the things that might teach us something, what are the things we could find joy in, what are the things that might be exciting. It's just because we're not looking for it, perhaps. But, I mean, is that the case? Did you have to sort of search for the experience, even though part of it perhaps wasn't joyful?
Well, absolutely. I mean, so I had to keep jobs for years that I didn't like, but it's because I needed money.
Yeah.
And there were things I could do to lower my expenses, like I said, but it's still at the end of the day, I had to pay for certain bills before I had the opportunity and the luxury of moving to other places.
Yeah.
But for a while, I just had to grit through it, and it wasn't fun, and I wasn't happy many of those days. But I had this bigger question of why, I had these goals set out that I wanted to accomplish, and I had the positive peer pressure pushing me to make slow but steady progress on those things. And over time, and again, it's been close to a decade, now I can look back and tell you my highlights. But at the time, not every day was a highlight.
Yeah, for sure.
Certainly the truth.
And I guess that's, you know, a part of that journey. Like if you've got a job you don't like, having those outside passions or having that outside why, the focus, the goals, can certainly, you know, give you the motivation to work through those challenging times. But what about within, you know, doing those goals that you don't find that interesting, that you just go, oh, why am I doing this? Perhaps I should just let it go. How did you find ways to find the joy in the experience, the learning in the experience, the value of the experience, rather than just looking at the negative aspects of the experience that might actually lead you to giving up or stopping?
Well, I think actually one of the unintended benefits of traveling is that it teaches you by necessity to be an optimistic person. So what I mean by this is that when you travel, you are certainly going to run into situations that are terrible. It's just part of being outside of your comfort zone. So be this, I don't know, let's say running out of money in a country you don't speak the language, or it could be something much simpler like you miss a train. You're going to run into situations that are not great. And because this is not something that is going to change, or this is not something that you're going to have ultimate control over, like with a train example, you're going to start to manifest a bit of a mindset where you start to be a little bit more optimistic about things or focus on the things you can control. So why I unintentionally learned to be a little bit more optimistic as I traveled, because frankly I had to. So then when I did have control over something like the chess example, I started looking for the parts of the chess activity that I did enjoy. And there were aspects of it that I did enjoy, although there were also aspects that I didn't. But cultivating that optimism, I think, is what helped me get through some of the things that were not as fun on a day to day.
Yeah, really interesting insight. Certainly, I've found the same with traveling. You know, you sort of let go of the attachment to what you can't control. And that really helps you sort of look for the opportunity and then stay a little bit more positive about it all. And I think that's a, you know, a key player in my life as well, just to be optimistic about the outcomes that will come and just to go through it. And that sort of allows them to show up, I think, in life, which sounds a little bit hippie or vague, doesn't it? But I think it's really,
you know, true. But these truisms that I think that people have probably heard in spoken in different ways many times in their life, I mean, I think that those really are things that are true in the very like core sense of the human experience.
Yeah.
The only way to really intellectualize is the right word, but the way to like really grasp that, to feel it in your core, to fully understand it, is just to experience this yourself over time. And travel is one of the great door openers in that way of understanding these truisms. But so is just going out and adventuring, even if it's, you know, it could be in your own town or it could be in a foreign country. But pushing yourself in those ways, I think, is what really opens up these truisms to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, just the practice, you know, just having that awareness so you can practice that. So when you feel that sort of negative voice coming in saying, oh, this is no good, this is not going to work out, just sort of slapping yourself a little bit and saying, hey, well, why? And what's the opportunity of the situation? I always use the example of driving into a busy car park. You know, a lot of people go, oh, geez, I'm never going to get a park here. And you get that little voice in your head. But it's just about sort of focusing and saying, hey, hang on, I'm going to get one right out the front where I want it. And it's sort of amazing how often that comes about, just by having that mindset.
Yeah, for me, it's not blind optimism. It's not this concept of being like, well, I just believe it's going to get better, or I believe that it's going to open this up to me. Instead of it's a little bit more of this persistence. Well, I'm just going to keep trying on this, and I'm gonna take little bite-sized chunks of it until I'm able to, in this example, find eventually a place to park, so I can eventually get to this place where I'm actually trying to go to, which is the true goal here, as opposed to just the little activity of parking.
Yeah. Good call. And I think there's a lot of science to that as well. I mean, the brain seems to be wired to predict our future. So if we're trying to predict it based on past negative experience, that's what we're going to find. Whereas if we sort of predict based on positive experience, then we'll find that as well. So I think there's some science behind it all. So talk to us. I want to go into these other questions, but I want to talk to you about your book as well. And, you know, minimalist. There's a lot of talk about minimalism at the moment. Mm-hmm. I struggle to say that word, minimalism.
It's got a lot of M's.
It's what is it about minimalism? And I guess it's different for everyone, but what are the fundamentals behind it?
So minimalism, at least for me, is more about focusing on what is valuable in your life, so giving your own specific story, and then figuring out ways of increasing those things. And the best way to add things that are important to your life, I've found, or the most realistic way, is to subtract things that are not important to your life.
Yeah.
And this may sound like a simple idea, but it's kind of like one of these truthisms that you like. You really have to go through quite the journey to make this, to manifest this in your life, to make this something real. So I can say, for example, spend less money so that you can spend more money on, say, art or on your hobby. But on a day-to-day level, spending less money is quite difficult. So the book goes through and gives you very specific habits that you can add to your life so you are, over time, continuing to subtract things that are not important from your life based on your own particular priorities so that you can continually add these things to your life. So it's a book about habits, and it's a book about focus.
What are maybe one or two key habits that you sort of talk about?
Sure. So I believe the third chapter is all about finances. So there are about 10 habits within the finance chapter that go through and say, if you structure things this way, you're going to automatically have some of your good habits done for you. So this could be very simple investing, or this could be paying yourself first, or this could be setting up your bank accounts in a way where you can take advantage of interest rather than falling victim to inflation.
Right.
So it goes through very specific ways of how you can structure your money so that you think less about it, because you already have automated some of your good behaviors or your good habits, so that you can not think about money, and so you can start spending time and energy on the things you actually do care about.
Yeah, okay. Good stuff, mate. You're a smart dude. I love your commitment to learning, you know, about all the aspects of life rather than just a niche aspect. And I think, I don't know, does that bring greater joy to your life just by having a sort of an all-around perspective on many aspects of life rather than just focusing on one?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm cheating here on purpose, and I openly admit it.
I like
so what I found, what I found is that some of the most interesting parts of learning anything, it comes at the beginning where you learn the most, because if you know nothing about a subject and you spend, let's say, a day on it, you're going to learn way more in that first day than you are day 10,000 in the same activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of the way it works. So what I do is I jump around topics frequently so that I'm always learning a lot. So I'm in day one, or let's say day one for many activities all the time. And it's great because every single day I get to learn a whole lot, and I get a lot of joy out of learning. And every single day is like that, at least practically so. So yeah, I do this on purpose, even though I know I'm not going to ever become a master at, say, I don't know, let's say illustration. I'll never become a Da Vinci, but actually, that's a poor example because he was a polymath. He was great at many things. But I'm going to be good at many things. I'm not ever trying to become the master at any one individual thing.
Well, and I think that sort of creates self-mastery, you know, always having that desire to learn something new and get near, more closer to being that bit better, I think is what it takes. I love the process, mate. I think you've got a lot of value and there's a lot of stories and stuff I'd like to get in with you. Time is limited. I want to run into these other questions that I ask all guests. And I just encourage people, first of all, to go out there, check out your website. So that is lifelisted.com. Have I got that correct?
That's right, yeah.
And you've got that book as well, which I'm supposing you can pick up through, yeah, you can, through the website there, or you can go directly to Amazon as well.
Yeah, you can pick up the book at pretty much any bookstore worldwide. Yeah. It's out there. And it's available in digital form and physical forms on site. But it's called The Minimalist Mindset, and my name is Danny Dover. So if you search bookstores for Minimalist Mindset or Danny Dover, you'll see that book pop up.
Awesome stuff, guys. I'll stick it in the show notes. So go to The Hidden Why, episode 404, I believe this is. So check that out and, use the links there to pick up yourself a copy. That helps support the show as well. So, Danny, let's ask some questions. What is your meaning of success?
So my meaning of success would be looking back on my life and being proud of the life story that I've written. I think that if I can do that, then I will very much so consider myself successful.
That's one of the drivers for me. I mean, I've got two particular drivers in my life, and that's to live without suffering or to live with the less suffering as possible and to look back on my life without that regret. And I think, you know, a life list like the one you've been talking about certainly would help you do that.
In my experience, very much so, yes.
So I like that. I like that meaning. I mean, that's what really drives me every day. Even though sometimes I look at, and this is another thing about a life list. Sometimes I look at it and you know, I'm so attached to this societal expectation that we've all been led to believe is how we should be living life, that sometimes you sort of automatically go back to that, like, oh, but shouldn't I have a house? Shouldn't I be paying off a mortgage? Or, you know, shouldn't I be whatever, you know, all these sort of expectations that we think are necessary. But when you start living in your own way more purposefully, you sort of move off that track, and sometimes it's hard to get your head around that. Have you found that as well?
Absolutely. I call this concept outlier status. Uh-huh. So I believe this is something that I've unintentionally achieved, which is there are certain people that you hear about or maybe read about where you kind of just write them off as outliers. So a great example of this is ultra marathoners, these people who run marathons in Antarctica. I feel like because I'm a mediocre runner myself. When I hear about these people, I just say those people, it seems like they can just achieve anything. They're like aliens. But that's also very freeing for them because then they don't have a lot of the societal expectations that let's say normal people have. And I think with my life list journey, an unintended consequence of this is that many people view me as an outlier. So when I tell them that I'm going to spend a whole bunch of time in, say, Antarctica, or if I'm going to travel into space or launch, I launched a weather balloon up into the stratosphere not too long ago. People just kind of assume, well, yeah, I guess he can do that because he's an outlier. And I'm like, well, thank you for that compliment. And also, this is very freeing.
That's cool. And certainly there's a good book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers, which I think is on that topic, which was a good read for me this year. Launching, I mean, you're just doing some crazy stuff. And I can still see the doubt that comes in people's minds saying, yeah, that's okay for him because, you know, he's got the money or he's got the time. But you've had to create that, yeah?
That's exactly right. I mean, the household I grew up in, both of my parents were teachers. And, you know, why we were able to put food on the table every day, we were not rich by any means, by any way of measuring it. And I still don't consider myself extremely wealthy, but I've subtracted my expenses to a low enough level where I can dedicate the money that I do have to the things that I care the most about.
Yeah. It's something I've been really thinking about lately, and it's the questions that come up. Yeah, he's okay. He can do that because, you know, he's created the money, or he's, you know, just got the ability, he's got the time, or got that extra skill. But I look at my life and the things that I used to read about in some of the books when I first started out just 5 years ago, you know, that I'm reflecting back on now, I just go, their message is so true. But at the time when I was reading it, I was going, it just seems too perfect. It seems like their message was, good for them, but perhaps not good for everyone else. And as I've sort of gone on that journey myself, it really has come true to me as well. And I just go, you know, it is so profoundly true. And I think, again, that's one of the obstacles people have to get their heads around and just sort of take on that advice, trust that advice, just have a bit of faith and then go with it.
Well, faith and hard work. So, I mean, like, you live a very exciting and interesting lifestyle now. I know you're in Japan with your family, and you have been for a while. But I imagine it did not start out that way. You started out asking these questions of why, and then you day after day made small steps in this direction.
Hmm. Yeah, well, the hardest work is that internal battle, I believe, and then that's what I've been really working on. And you know, again, my life is set up in a way to support it. I'm sort of a minimalist, I suppose. I mean, the other day, mm-hmm. I was walking down the street in the middle of the day, beautiful sunny day, just going for probably an hour walk, and I just felt so alive. And then I reflected back to, you know, 5 years ago, working in a corporate job, or 7 years ago, working in a corporate job where I just didn't have that ability. And yeah, I don't have the big screen TVs in every room and all that sort of stuff, but I'm much better off for it, health-wise, overall. And that's, you know, that's the lifestyle I've set myself up. So it hasn't been about the money necessarily. It's just been about, you know, aligning my life with that why again, and then finding that purpose, which I think is important.
Yep. And I call this minimalism, but it goes by many different words. But it sounds like that you have found that and that you've cultivated that in your life.
Yeah, I like it. Great messages. What advice would you give your 20-year-old self?
This one's easy. So I spent way too much time not focusing on just my general health, particularly my diet and exercise. I was overweight for most of my life. And the reason being is that I had convinced myself that diet and exercise wasn't for me. I didn't believe that I would get, say, like that running high or that exercise high. Mm. And that was just wrong. And it was short-sighted. And it was detrimental, not just physically, like, yes, I was overweight, but also with my confidence and with my social life and with everything, essentially. So if I go back to my 20-year-old self, I would give myself a stern conversation with myself and just say, look, you don't think that these things are beneficial, diet and exercise, but they very, very much so are. And in fact, those two things were some of the linchpins that were holding me back from much other things in my life, if I could just get those two things under control.
Yep, I agree 100%. I think health is the one of the fundamental pillars for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. And what advice, productivity advice, would you give? Maybe one hack that might help other people become more effective?
Well, the most practical, I'm going to give two. The most practical one I know is read the book Getting Things Done by David Allen. And it's one of only a few books that's changed my life as far as productivity. It's one of a few books that's changed my life holistically. So Getting Things Done by David Allen, read that.
David and then Allen as far as.
Yep, David Allen.
I haven't mm-hmm. read that. I'll have to get it. Okay.
Wonderful book. Very practical. Every page is actionable. Getting Things Done. And then my life hack that I'd like to contribute is, if you're ever in a situation where you need a recommendation letter or a letter of reference, I find that it is much more more useful to write the letter yourself and then have the person who you're asking it from to approve it. That way you get everything in that letter that you want, all the points you want made, and the person who you're asking it from doesn't have to do much additional work. So I've gotten much better recommendation letters using that method.
Yeah, I like that. And certainly I think the people on the other end would like that too.
They sure do.
Do that for book reviews and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, I think some people maybe do that. Yeah, maybe I should start doing that.
Yeah, it makes sense, you know. I don't know. Is it dishonest? I don't think so.
No, I think as long as you're having the other person read through it and make any tweaks that they deem necessary before they put their name on it, I think that this is a totally fine thing to do.
Yeah. Okay, and what sort of rituals and routines do you have, daily routines that you have that you believe contribute to your success?
Well, I think that the routines, many of them change. So like meditation is a big part of my life now, but it wasn't in the past. But I think the things that have been core that really – I see as true life routines as opposed to, say, like yearly routines, would be this idea of creating SMART goals and giving myself deadlines. Deadlines are an odd but strangely important factor of my life. I need deadlines to thrive. And when I have deadlines, I do generally thrive. So setting myself deadlines, I think that's probably my most important routine.
Yeah, cool. I like it. And one piece of advice that you'd give anyone looking to make a change in their life, small or big?
Mm. I would tell them to read more. Read more specifically biographies and autobiographies. I think that those books are that genre of books is unique in that the stories take place in the real world as opposed to other genres.
Yep.
And so that means these people have the same constraints that you and I do, which is 24 hours in a day and having constraints on money and having constraints with other things in their life. So the people who succeed and who are good enough to have an autobiography, them writing an autobiography or having a biography written about them, tend to be the most important people to study. So if you want to improve yourself, start by reading biographies and autobiographies.
Okay. Is there any one particular biography you've read recently that you'd like to recommend?
Yeah, it's a bit obvious advice, but I really got a lot out of the Steve Jobs biography.
Mm.
And I can tell you, I did not like the Benjamin Franklin autobiography. That one's recommended a lot, but I did not find much value in it.
It's really lengthy, to be honest.
It's a bit boring. Yeah,
I've got the audiobook and I haven't completed it yet. I got the same advice. But yeah, Steve Jobs I got a lot out of. And actually, have you seen his commencement speech from Stanford University that he made?
I have. I watch that. I rewatch that every year. He did a brilliant job.
Freaking, you know, it's got just three core points about his life that just are messages that we should all listen to, I think.
That's right. So one of them is this idea of joining up dots, is that everything makes sense when you look backwards, but it doesn't make any sense when you're trying to predict it going forward.
Mm.
I relearn that truism, I'd say, on a monthly basis. Yeah. Like that resonates with me even more every single month since I first saw that speech years ago.
There you go. Go check that out too, guys. I'll stick it in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com. And let's go into the quick round questions. What's your favorite food?
Pineapple on pizza.
Ooh,
favorite leisure. It's delicious. I love it.
Yeah, my thing. Favorite leisure activity?
Tinkering. I love tinkering in all sorts of ways. So right now it's electronics, but sometimes it's just tinkering through thought or reading or whatever.
Tinkering, I like that one. And what book would you like to recommend?
The Alchemist. It's a wonderful book. We've now discussed two of the three books that have really changed my life. That's the other one. No, we hit all three. The Steve Jobs one as well. We hit all three.
I'll stick it all in the show notes. Yeah, The Alchemist is awesome. Unbelievable.
Wonderful book.
It took me so long to get to it, but once I got to it, I had to listen to it twice. It's just awesome. Have you got a favorite quote?
I do. This one came from I took a bartending class one time as a life list item, and the bartender, the instructor, said that everything that is important about you is revealed by how you play. Everything that is important about you is revealed by how you play. And I thought that was brilliant because playing is really one of the most honest expressions of what makes you you. And we just do not do that nearly enough as adults. So I love that quote.
That's a good one. And do you believe we all have a why, a purpose?
I do, but I think that probably not for the same reason as most of the people you talk to on your show. For me, I think that the reason that all of us have a why is because we all have the ability to just choose, even if it seems arbitrary. You can just make up any why for yourself. And as long as you commit yourself to it, I think that's the important part of going through that process rather than just making sure you get the quote-unquote right answer.
And I think that's what holds a lot of people back is, and you've mentioned it at the start of this episode too, getting that right answer. We want this right, perfect answer. And that's certainly, you know, not what it's been about for me. It's just been about finding something that gives me some sort of sense of meaning, something that aligns with my values, and then just going after it and what flows from there is truly incredible. Certainly sounds like that's the journey you've had as well.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And living life with passion and purpose, what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, it means focus, or it means minimalism. If you're able to really identify the things that are important to you, the things that really resonate with you as an individual, then I think that you're going to, by just happenstance, live a life full of passion, a life full of purpose, because you have identified the core elements, and you then have the focus to work on those things. So everything else is going to come as side effects.
Yeah. Okay. You become more necessary and purpose. And we didn't really start on that with minimalism, but I think it's all about being necessary. And again, getting over those external restrictors that stop you from that. And what I'm talking about is that you think you might need a mortgage, or you think you need that big TV or the two cars or whatever it might be. But once you start really connecting with a why and start really connecting with that purpose, you start to make the connection going, well, no, do I really need this? Or is that just something that I think I believe I need to have? And that's been sort of a powerful transformation for me as well.
Me too. And I think that when you finally have this answer to why, even if it's arbitrary, then you finally are equipped with this compass. I think you might have used this phrase, the life compass. Yeah. So that you can then weigh every other decision you have to make in your life. Well, is this important given where I'm trying to get to? And if you have that compass, you can answer that question. But until you have that compass, making those decisions of, do I really want to have the mortgage or do I really want to spend money on this hamburger? Those become very difficult and unanswerable questions until you really have that direction you're trying to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the compass forms from the journey. And certainly it's something that I'm working on right now. It's part of my book is the Life Compass. So yeah, once you form that compass, I mean, everything that we do and want to have or think we need to have, if you just pause and say, well, why and how does that matter to my compass? You can really find that answer pretty quickly, and it allows you to make more informed decisions and become much more purposeful, which I think it's all about. Mate, I've loved your story, and I really want other people to experience it as well. So I'll stick the links to your website in the show notes at thehiddenwhy.com, guys. So check it out. He's got a brilliant TED Talk that really summarizes, you know, the journey of what he's done really well. I just loved your TED Talk. I think it was awesome.
Thank you.
And yeah, how else can, or anything else you want to mention?
Well, I appreciate all the listeners. Thank you for including us in your life today. We both very much appreciate that. If there's anything I can do to help any of you, or if there's more questions you would like to ask, or if you just like to read some of my work, you can find all of that on lifelisted.com, or many of the questions you can start asking yourself are found in The Minimalist Mindset, which you can get in all major bookstores.
Yeah, good stuff. I'll stick it all in the show notes, guys, so check it out. And thank Danny for coming over here and sharing. It's been an awesome interview, mate. Thank you. And guys, until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon. There you have it, gang. That's today's episode done. What did you think? Did you enjoy it? Did it bring you some value? I'd love to hear from you. Make sure you jump onto thehiddenwhy.com to this episode and leave your comments in the fields below. Also, connect with me, guys, while you're there. Facebook, Twitter, and my email address, thehiddenwhyguy@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys. I'd love to hear about what you're passionate about, what brings you joy in life. So connect with me there, guys, any way you wish. Also, guys, I want to ask you, before you go, for a huge, huge, huge favor. And the favor is simple. It's just to go to thehiddenwhy.com and subscribe to my newsletter. And here's why. I want to keep you up to date on a project that I've been working on. For the last year, I've been writing my newest book called The Ultimate Life Map. It's really about helping people align their lives with their purpose, with their why, so they can live more truly, freely, fulfilled, and happy. That's what it's all about. So if I can get into more hands, then I can help more people with that. But in doing so, the funds from this book, guys, I'm going to launch a project to help raise funds to support a third world community, to build skills there, to help these children that aren't as privileged as we are, that don't have all the resources that we have, so they can set themselves up and hopefully live towards a more promising life as well. So guys, I really want to ask for your help, and the best thing you can do for me right now is just to subscribe to my newsletter. Jump online, subscribe to the newsletter, and that way I can keep you up to date with what's going on, guys. You can help me really, you know, spread the message, get this book out there into more hands, and in doing so, we can raise funds to support this community. I've got a couple of options there now, so more information on that to come as well. But guys, that's my favor from you today. Please just jump online, subscribe to my newsletter so I can keep you posted with this project. I'm really passionate about it, guys, and it'd be really great if you can support me with this. That's it from me, guys. You know what to do. You need to go out there, breathe more passion into every single moment. You need to do everything with greater purpose, and in doing so, you will discover your hidden why. This is Lee Martinuzzi. Thank you. Until next time, peace, passion, and purpose. See you soon.